New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. You got problems that you ought to be concerned with. Moolah! You don't know how you're supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with Gabe S. Dunn. Welcome back to another Bad with Money mailbag episode. I'm your host, Gabe S. Dunn. This is the part of the show where we read your emails and listen to your voicemails and read your DMs. And I talk about whatever I want to talk about because it's a mailbag and it's my show. So if you want to follow video of this episode, you can do so at patreon.com/Gabe S. Dunn. I'll do a little hand signal so you guys know that it's Patreon exclusive. Yeah, we're going to get into it. I love hearing from you guys. So here we go. This is an email from Anonymous. Hello. I don't think you've done this in a previous episode, but I was wondering if you could do an episode on accredited investors. These are people with over 1 million in assets or over 200K in income, or financial professionals that are allowed to invest in unregulated securities that us plebs are not allowed to invest in. The idea is that they are financially sophisticated, quote unquote. Because dude bro salesmen with absurdly high income have all the secrets. In contrast to Stephanie Lee's boring investment episodes, which I love, I think it's an interesting topic. Who are these people? Who are the companies that provide these services? Are they all Ponzi schemes? Just something I thought would be interesting to explore. Thanks, Anonymous. I agree. You know, I try to stay away from like hedge fund stuff and like capitalist stuff like that on this show, but you're right. It might be worth having someone who deals with high income earners on the show. I just have always felt like, who wants to hear that? Or like, is that going to affect anybody who listens to this? And like, if you do have a high income, you probably don't listen to this show, but maybe people do. If you have a high income, do you listen to this? Would you be interested in hearing from these people who only deal with like $1 million assets? Could I find one that I want to talk to that isn't a total bummer to listen to? I don't know. If you are that, let me know. If you're someone who handles like millions of dollars of investments, why do you listen to Bad with Money? For sheer just enjoyment, to keep your ear to the ground so you can pretend that you talk to the average person? I don't really know. I'm being an asshole. I understand I'm being an asshole. Yeah, that might be an interesting episode idea. I'm not against it. I'll write that down. Okay, this is an email from Big Fan. Dear Gabe, I took out a credit card a few years ago and was doing hella well at paying off everything on time, blah, blah, blah. Well, shit hit the fan last year, and now my $6,000 credit limit is maxed out in all caps. And it actually now says I owe $7,000 plus, and it keeps going up. Yeah, that's interest. Okay, I can't afford the minimum payment, but I'm throwing them $5 every week because that's all I got. Is what I'm doing a joke? Am I throwing this money into a pit of fire? Should I just be ordering an extra shot of espresso and saying, fuck their $5? By the way, I say espresso and I won't apologize. That's me, Gabe, talking. This person sent a string of emojis. Advice, words of encouragement. I also noticed on the couch show you got a mic and I could low-key tell you were not being as loud animated as usual. Oh, that's so sweet. Again, a reference to the Just Between Us couch show, which you can watch at youtube.com/justbetweenus, which is a couch show video version of the dynamic that me and my co-host of my Just Between Us podcast have. So it's not the podcast, it's like more content. I hope you get used to it or just chuck the idea altogether. XOXO, big fan. Yeah, we did just get microphones and I guess I am trying not to be as loud, but it's okay. I'm getting used to it and it'll be fine. I'll be back to myself in no time, I'm sure. I'm also pretty self-conscious about my voice because of testosterone. Okay, yeah, so throwing $5 at it, you're basically just paying off the interest and like keeping things at bay. I don't know that that's really doing anything. I am not a debt expert, but I feel like paying it off in chunks is better than paying it off just paying the interest. I you know, there is something that we talked about with Stephanie Lee of frequently taxed questions. And this is something that I talked about on a mailbag that maybe people will come at me for. But if your interest rate is really high, you can do something where you consolidate. So you get a loan, a consolidation loan that has a lower interest rate. You use that to pay off the credit limit, or you get a credit card. And don't do this all the time, and don't do this as a practice, but you get a credit card that has a 0% APR, like a zero, you know, for like a year, let's say you'll have like a 0% interest rate. Use that to pay off the one that has a high interest rate, and then buckle the fuck up and make sure to pay off that one within a year. We've done episodes about this. That's one layman's opinion. If you are someone who thinks that that's a terrible idea, let me know. I understand that it might be, but I think like the interest is what's killing you. And I talk about this often on the show about interest rates. And I think you've got to focus on how do I get a different interest rate rather than just paying $5. So there's tons to look into there. We've done episodes about it. Go to frequentlytaxedquestions.com. That's Stephanie's website. And also subscribe to the Boring newsletter, her newsletter, which I really enjoy. But yeah, the interest rate is what's killing you there. I also completely relate to getting back into debt. And what I did was take a loan that had no interest and then paid that off. Risky, very risky, because I don't know what the future could bring, but I knew that paying interest was not the way to go.
Oh boy, can your finances take a hit during the holidays? I've definitely had stuff come up that I, you know, forgot about last minute, gifts for people, realizing I don't have something for someone's plus one or significant other, trying to put together meals. I mean, you can think you've thought everything through for the holidays, and oh boy, might it take a while to recover financially. But we all get it. You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to spend time with people and make the most of it and have this magical time that we all look forward to all year long. We spend more than we should during the holidays. Take control of your finances by using a Chime checking account with features like no monthly or maintenance fees, fee-free overdraft up to $200, or get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/badmoney. I am notorious for forgetting about automatic payments, and then I overdraft. I have had a history of overdrafting my account. It's horrible. There's tons of fees. There's even fees for going below a certain number, even if you aren't overdrafting. Like, it is such a relief to have a Chime account that allows you to overdraft up to $200 with no fees. It's a financial tech company with a sense of community. You can have temporarily increased overdraft limits with boosts from friends. Join the millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Chime helps with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees. Over 50,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $32 billion in transactions through SpotMe. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to temporarily increase a friend's SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to temporarily raise your limit. Set up direct deposit in your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 plus, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges overdraft fees for using SpotMe. Enjoy the holidays while keeping your financial goals on track with Chime. Open your account in 2 minutes at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Direct deposit timing depends on submission of payment file. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs and for OTC withdrawals.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, here's an email from Hallie. Hi, Gabe. My name is Hallie, and I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer. I live in Austin, Texas, and work in food systems and have a side hustle as a presentation designer. I am a few years into my finance journey and have been spending some time looking at my investments to figure out if I want to move my money, and if I do, where do I want to move it to? A few years ago, I had a chunk of cash that I put into a 401k and a brokerage and set it and forget it into some low-cost mutual funds. I have been going through to figure out if those funds baby me invested in have paid off and if I want to diversify or move more money. My first question to you or a future guest is, what is the best way to compare and contrast investment funds? I use E-Trade, and there's so much information on every fund page. To try to be able to compare them holistically, weigh risk versus average return versus the fees, I made a spreadsheet where I input some of the numbers from the fund page. Is there an easier way to do this? Does everyone do this, or is there a public database somewhere? I feel like every website I have found just has individual pages for each fund, not one where you can compare multiple next to each other. Is everyone just figuring it out as they go? I feel like there must be something I am missing. I also would love to know if I even picked the right numbers to compare. I just kind of went with my gut. I also added data from prison-free funds to see how my investments stood up against my ethics, which leads me into my second question. I noticed when I did all this that the funds that scored high on the ethics categories, prison-free, deforestation-free, fossil fuel-free, gender equity, civilian firearm-free, tobacco-free, and defense contractor fee, generally had the highest expense ratio, fees, and the one exception to this was the NASDAQ 100 index, QQM, and QQQ, since it is pretty much all tech. Why is this? Is it just because people who care about the planet, other people, are willing to pay a fee to know that they are not investing in horrible things? Does it actually cost more to operate a socially conscious fund? I'm going to have to go back and listen to your ESG episode, but I mostly remember y'all talking about returns, not necessarily expense ratio. Thank you for all that you do, from one BuyCon to another, Hallie. Okay, your spreadsheet looks amazing. I took a look at it and it looks like you really, like you did exactly what you needed to do. I too have had the problem where every website just shows individual pages and doesn't really have a lot of ability to compare. Motley Fool has some ability to do that. I think that the numbers that you chose are the right numbers to compare, but you know, like risk, it'll show you risk and then it'll show you average return, it'll show you fees, and then inputting them into one place is really smart. I do think there must be a website for what you're talking about. I just don't know it. So I hope one of our listeners writes in and lets me know, because I have not encountered that website and I have run up against these problems too. So it's good that we talk about it on the show, because I'm sure somebody knows more than me or has done the research or knows what to Google. I didn't even know really what to Google. Now, when it comes to fees, that is true. They are banking on people who are willing to pay a fee on trying to not invest in horrible things. I do think sometimes it does cost more to run a socially conscious fund because they are having to opt out of things and like do more research and look at stuff that isn't just like going with what's the most, you know, what's the most profitable. Like, for instance, when we did our Jim Cramer episode, he talks often about being amoral when it comes to investing. He invests in whatever's going to make him the most money. He doesn't care. He doesn't judge. It doesn't matter. Everything you listed is really difficult for a company to achieve, mostly because they don't want to. And so, you know, I think the rise in being socially conscious when it comes to investing has happened over the last like 10 years. Like you said, our ESG episode was really good with Kevin Matthews from Building Bread. We've also talked about ethical investing a few times. If you want to look up those episodes, I have gotten feedback from people who listen to this show saying there actually is no such thing as ethical investing. What I'm saying is ethical investing is actually not, that it's all capitalist bullshit, and that me even pretending that things could be ethical while investing is like a pipe dream, you know? So I do get it. I do understand. And everything you listed, I mean, it is what people are who are trying to get rich are focusing on. My whole thing is I want you guys to be financially stable. I don't necessarily like say that I'm going to make you rich. So please write in if you're someone who knows a bit more about this, or even if you think that I'm wrong. If you're listening to this and you're like, I like the socialist aspects of the show, I think that the way that you try to say that there's any ethical way to invest is problematic and wrong. I would love to hear from you. I hear from you a little bit, but I would even be open to hearing from you more. This is an email from Anonymous. Hi, Gabe. I love your show and wanted to write in with my own anecdote about interview assignments. This anecdote is actually about the job I currently have, so if you could keep this anonymous, that would be great. I recently changed fields. I went back to grad school and came out the other side with a shiny new degree and tangible but not necessarily direct experience. As a side note, I was surprised by how much better it is to be a job applicant when the unemployment rate is low and my experience is less chaotic than it was in my 20s. When I was applying for my current position, when they invited me back for a second round interview, they asked me to complete a short assignment. They wanted a short analysis typical for the job and provided me with sources they commonly use. They asked me to spend no more than 10 hours on it. I was immediately skeptical because I'd heard of these kind of scams in the tech industry, not my industry. So I went to their website to see if I could tell whether they were currently working on a project they could use my analysis for. Very smart, Anonymous. Very smart. It turns out they did one a while ago, so I felt fairly confident that they were just trying to see my writing and analytical skills and not scamming me for unpaid labor. And it turns out I was right. I think ultimately this exercise actually helped me because it was a way to demonstrate that I had the skills needed to work in an industry that I was relatively new to. So this is just to say, in some situations, I think it makes sense to give practical assignments as part of the hiring process. But employers should only be giving these assignments to a small pool of applicants they are interested in moving forward with. Ample time to complete the assignment should be given, a maximum number of hours should be established, and it should not be anything they could steal. Also, if you're hiring someone who has worked in the field before, just ask for an existing writing sample. Anyway, if you're ever looking to interview someone about graduating college at the peak of the Great Recession and fumbling around a variety of industries for 11 plus years, I'm happy to chat. Thanks for all you do, Anonymous, she, her. Okay, a lot of different opinions, a lot of different opinions about take-home assignments. Okay, here is an email from Lisa. HR here. Hi, Gabe. I've been listening to Bad with Money since the very beginning, back when you truly didn't know what you were doing with money or lack thereof. I commiserated with you as you broadcast phone chats with your mom about your student loans. You changed the way I look at money then, and as the podcast evolved, you changed the way I saw capitalism and my contributions to it and the way the world works. Thank you for being the window in a world full of opaque doors. Oh my God, that's so sweet. That's one of the nicest things anybody's ever said about the show. If it could fit, I would put it on a mug. I'm writing because I listened to a recent mailbag episode where a listener asked about their 401k and if losses were attributed to both vested and unvested investments equally. I can't answer their question. There are too many variables that I would need to define, but I did want to offer my services as a newly minted HR person. After 20 years of working in TV and digital video as a production exec, I made the leap to human resources, an industry I've always felt so much passion for, and I'm now the head of people and culture for a big YouTube channel. Your advice that people should always go to HR with questions because that's why we're here is 100% accurate. That said, just like every other job, there are some sucky HR people who are going to give bad advice or blow you off or be in a bad mood and make you feel like you're wrong for asking. But I am here. And even when I'm in a bad mood, I want to make sure you or your listeners are getting good information. So if there's ever an HR question, feel free to lob it my way. I'd love to help in any way possible to repay you for the years of advice you've given me. XO Lisa. Oh my God, what if we had Lisa on and we did an HR episode where it was like any questions you have for HR, we just have Lisa on to talk about it? That'd be so fun. And we just did like Lisa the HR person episode. Lisa, would you want to do that? And everyone, would you want to write in with your HR questions? Why don't you do that? Write in with questions that you would have for HR that you're too scared to ask. And I'm going to see if Lisa wants to come on and be our HR person. That could be a fun thing that we do. Okay, here is an email from Taryn Mars. Hi, Gabe. I recently changed my whole name, first, middle, and last. The actual changing of my name was pretty easy once I committed myself to it. I live in Washington, and they recently changed the name change application, so you don't have to provide a reason for changing your name or announce it to anyone besides the court and the resulting court records. I believe you can even get that scrubbed, but I don't really care, so I didn't. They also changed the wording, so you don't have to be a citizen of the county, just prove that you're a resident. Changing my gender marker was as easy as checking a new box when updating my other records as I reported my name change. I went with gender marker X because I felt equally uncomfortable using M or F, and thankfully Washington has made it easy to choose X. For those of you that don't know, Gabe here, X is the non-binary gender marker. Okay, back to Taryn. I rarely travel out of the country or by plane at all, so I don't have the same safety worries other people do, though it does make me hesitant to visit my little sister in Texas. Last time I went, before I changed my name, I wasn't able to fill my tea prescription when I ran out because it was prescribed by a nurse practitioner at Planned Parenthood rather than a doctor. I didn't get a real ID or enhanced ID or whatever since I have a passport. The court name change and copies of the court order was $277. So I had to get a new ID and that was $80. I had to get a whole new passport, but if I had gotten it more recently, I wouldn't have had to pay the whole fee. That was about $175, and I'm kind of lazy and worried I'd do it wrong, so I had USPS take my picture and do everything for me. I had to order a new birth certificate. Thankfully, I was born in the same state I live in currently, so that wasn't as difficult, and that was $25 plus shipping. And I had to pay emotionally by showing people my court paper and old ID to get my prescriptions picked up. No matter how sure I am that my name is changed in everyone's systems, it always sneaks back up. So I always keep a folded copy of the court paper and my old hole-punched ID to show them and prove I am who I say I am. Oh my God, Taryn, I do the same thing. I do the same thing. My passport's not updated, so sometimes I just keep my passport so I can prove that it's my old name. But also, because I only changed my name from my dead name by two letters, I can sometimes get away with people just thinking it's misspelled. Okay, keep that a secret, everyone. Keep that a secret. I still haven't changed it on my car loan or Affirm, one of those loan sites for smaller purchases. It's how I can afford my e-bike and phone. But whatever, I'll get to it. Also, filing my taxes was pretty easy through the IRS free file options. I used Tax Act. But I filed March 3rd and haven't gotten my return yet in the middle of May. That worries me, but I'm just trying to forget about it. Love the pod, Taryn Dean Mars, they, them. P.S. I listen to all podcasts and most books at 1.2 times to 1.6 times speed. So frankly, you don't talk fast enough. Thank you, Taryn. Okay, and now to round us out, a lovely 5-star Apple review. Money from every perspective. I have loved this podcast since the beginning and often refer back to earlier episodes. I love that Gabe mostly speaks with non-cis straight white men about money, since there are enough of those guys telling us how the system works for them. Bad with Money fills the gaps of literally everything else. I was hooked from the beginning when they asked the most shamelessly simple questions about money. It was such a refreshing invite in. And now years later, although I still have work to do, I feel empowered to make good financial decisions because it's good for me, not because it's what some guy said I should do. Plus, Gabe is super funny and relatable and open to listeners' disagreement, which I appreciate. I look forward to episodes every week. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Gabe. And that's from Kayla JG. Well, if you want to write us a 5-star Apple review, please do. You can also leave 5 stars on Spotify, I believe. You don't have to write a long review. Just give me 5 stars, please, please, please. And if you want to write into the show, you can write in at gabeisbadwithmoney@gmail.com. You can also follow me at Gabe S. Dunn or at BWM Pod on Instagram and on Patreon at patreon.com/GabeS. Okay, I love you guys. Bye. Bad with Money with Gabe Shane Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual, produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond M. Print Productions, edited by Diane King, post-production sound by Coco Lorenz, and music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, as sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.